It's so good to be with you this morning. I'm Pastor Jack. Pastor Wooten is out this morning enjoying some time with his family. And, I just got a couple questions for us this morning to start off. Is it hot enough for you? Man, I have been melting. Well, you can tell I haven't been melting, but I feel like I've been melting, okay? Oh, goodness, it's hot out there. And, you know, with the heat, we know that it's summertime, right? And with summertime comes, it's vacation time, right? Woo! Oh, okay. Man, where did my audience go? I better go. Oh, it's vacation time. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about vacation time. During vacation season, what is one of the most asked questions that you can think of during vacation season? Man, you guys got it right off the bat. Are we there yet? Man, you know, there is nothing like being on vacation and having your kids in the back seat and they're hollering, "Are we there yet?" Or how about, "How much longer? Are we ever going to get there? Please get me there." You know, they're back there throwing a fit. You know, how did you get up out of your seatbelt and do all that? You know, I mean, they can bring it on, can't they? But have you ever noticed that when the kids are having a good time, they don't ask those questions? When they're back there in the back seat and they're getting along for once in their life, you know, and they're back there, they're not asking those questions, are they? I remember Sadie, when we would go on a trip, she would ask me that annoying question, "Dad, are we there yet?" Or, "How much longer?" And I would just annoy her back. I would say, "Closer than we were." And she'd say, "Dad, that's not an answer. Are we, how much farther?" I said, "We're closer than we were." I thought, if you're going to annoy me, I'm going to annoy you right back. Bless her heart. She turned out okay, though. You know. I didn't scar her too bad. But, you know, we have those questions a lot. But when they're bored, that's when that comes out. You know, if they're playing their video games or getting along and having a good time, they very seldom ask that question. It's only when they get bored or whenever they just get so fidgety they can't stand themselves. And you know what? We as adults, we're kind of that same way. Maybe not on a trip, but what about when tough times come our way? When tough situations show up in our life, we're a little bit like that. We're like, is this ever going to end? It's going on and on and on, and is it ever going to end? And so we always get that to that point where we just think, I can't make it another day. But seldom when things are all going our way and things are going great, do we ask, well, how much longer is this going to last? You know, we don't ask that very much whenever things are going well. But when times are tough, it just seems to go on and on. There's a story of an old Sunday school class. I'm not talking about old people either. I'm just of a Sunday school class. Let's put it that way. A Sunday school class was asked. The teacher said, "Hey, in times of discouragement, what's some of your favorite scriptures?" And so there was a young man, and he said, "Well, my favorite scripture is 'The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want,' in Psalms 23, verse 1." And can I tell you, as a kid, that verse is really confusing. I remember as a kid, I thought, okay, my pastor tells me every Sunday I need Jesus, I need him in my heart. But I read this scripture and it says, he's my shepherd and I don't want him. You know, thank God I'm not confused on that anymore, okay? I know that I shall not want means a whole nother thing. But, okay, I'll get back on track. So he gave Psalms 23:1, and a middle-aged woman, she gently said, you know, God is my refuge and strength and a very present help in times of trouble, Psalms 46. And then another woman, she said, well, in this world you'll have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world, John 16:33. But then there's an older gentleman in his 80s, and his name was John, may not have been John, might have been Jack or something, I don't know. So old John, I'm not old, so we're going to use John. Old John was 80 years old, and he looked at the class and he said, and it came to pass 396 times in the Bible. And the class, they started snickering and giggling a little bit, and John just patiently waited on the snickers to slow down. And when it stopped, he looked at him and he said, you know, at 30, I lost my job with 6 mouths to feed, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. He said, at 40, I lost my son overseas in the war, and that one really took me down. He says, at 50, my house burned down and we lost everything. At 60, my wife of 40 years, she got cancer and it slowly ate away at her. And we spent night after night on our knees crying in prayer. And at 65, she died. And he said, and I still miss her to this day. He said, the agony, though, that I went through in each one of these situations was so unbelievable. He said, I wondered if God even knew where I was or knew my name. But each time I looked in the Bible, I saw one of those 396 verses. It came to pass. And I felt that God was telling me that my pain and my circumstances were also going to pass and that God would get me through it. You see, it's through God's word that we get through these tough times. And tough times come to every single one of us, even our heroes in the Bible. We all know who King David is, right? He's the one that wrote the Psalms. And he was the king. We know that he was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. He was a boy and he killed Goliath. As a man, he fought in battle after battle so much that when he would come back into the city, the people would cry out and sing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. See, he was so blessed and he was so anointed that he was victorious in that. And David, for the most part, it seemed like he had a great life. After all, he was a king. But David had times of trouble, just like you and I do. He had times in his life when he felt like times were so tough and they were never going to end. Maybe it was just as simple as sitting out in the hot sun, watching his sheep and wondering, is this day ever going to come to an end? Or maybe it was something a little more serious, like those years that he was being chased by Saul and that he was having to live like a refugee in caves. But that wasn't the worst for David. Perhaps the most difficult things David had to face was the turmoil in his own family, kind of like us sometimes. Maybe it was the time that when one of his sons raped his daughter. Or maybe it was one of the times when his son was using his own army against him and revolting and trying to kill him. Maybe it was when one of his sons was murdered. But one thing is for sure. When tragedy struck, David is just like you and I. He felt like it would last forever. In fact, in just the book of Psalms that David wrote, you can find the words 22 times, how long? So there were so many times in the book of Psalms that David was wondering, how long is this going to last? And I want us to look at Psalms chapter 13. We're going to look at the whole chapter. It's only 6 verses, okay? And so, excuse me. I want to read you these 6 verses. It says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me. Man, I tell you, when you take a look at this chapter here, and you realize that it can be divided into 3 sections, 3 equally parts, 2 verses each. And I want us to take a look at these and break this chapter down and hopefully will encourage us to hold on to the Lord's hand in times of trouble. Let us pray before we get any further. I'm going to tell you, I'm nervous as a cat on a tin roof this morning. and I know it's not about me, it's about him. And his word says if we lift him up, he will draw all men unto him. So that's what we're here today, is to draw men to Jesus. So let's pray and lift up the Lord. Father, I lift you up today, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that your word is a steady rock that we can stand on, no matter if it's a good time or a bad time. And God, I pray that today as we get into your word, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive it. Lord, that you would put inside of us the words directly from your mouth. God, it's not about me and what I say today, but God, it's about your anointing and your word spoken into the hearts and the lives of the people here. And God, I just ask that you would speak today. Speak eloquently and speak clearly to us, God. And Lord, I pray for a word of encouragement to those that may be in times of trouble right now. And so, God, we get into your word. We lift you up today, and we ask that you be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. So let's look at this chapter here. This chapter can really be broken down into those three sections I was talking about, verse 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and 5 and 6. And these three sections, you can look at them, or I looked at them, as like a mountain. Okay? In the first section, we're going to see that David is at the lowest valley in his life. The second section, we're going to see that David is starting to climb that mountain of faith that's before him. And then in the third section, we'll see that David has reached the mountaintop, and it's like he's looking back, and he can see that God was with him all along. So let's take a look at these three sections really quick. In the first section, we see that David is. He's in the deepest valley of his life. Now, this Psalms was written because of the song I talked about, how he came into the city and Saul was killing 1,000 and David was killing 10,000. We know that Saul got jealous of David. He had heard that he was anointed king, but David wasn't going to try to touch the throne. And so whenever Saul got jealous of David, he sent his army to kill him. And David is hiding out in caves. And he is living like a refugee. And this is one of the lowest moments in his life when he wrote this Psalms. And so he's in his deepest valley. But I love how David approaches the throne in this Psalms. You know, he just jumps right in there. He just jumps in and he starts sharing with God what is on his heart. One thing that we can learn from David in the Psalms is that we can always bear our soul to God. Even when we're angry or we're frustrated with God, let me tell you, it's okay to tell God. It really is. I know I grew up thinking, oh, you don't question God. Man, I'm going to tell you, he knows it already. I can't fake it. I can't tell him, I'm happy, God. Everything's good. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You know, no, he knows. He sees. He knows everything about us. And so he knows when we're angry and disappointed and discouraged or frustrated. So it's okay to bear your heart to God. Even when we're angry and frustrated, tell God how you feel. And that's what David did. David didn't pull any punches, and neither should we. If we take a look at verse 1, he says, how long, O Lord? Can you hear David? How long, O Lord? Probably echoing in that cave, wasn't it? Will you forget me forever? Ever, ever, ever. How long will you hide your face from me? You see, David's not pulling any punches here. It's obvious that David actually wanted God to intervene before this time. I mean, it wasn't like he just woke up today in a cave. He'd been in there for a while, and he had been probably petitioning and persisting in prayer for his needs. And he's probably poured out his heart to God over and over and over. But now he's kind of gotten to the end of his rope. And now it's like he's saying, God, do you even know my name? God, do you even hear me when I cry out to you? Do you even know what I'm going through? Has anybody asked those questions of God? Am I ever going to pass through the valley of the shadow of death? Will I ever get through all of this? I can't take it much more. And I think that most of us can identify with that. You know, I was talking with Sister Donna just yesterday, and we were talking about her healing and how God blessed her and has healed her body from cancer. But it was a 2-year journey. It didn't happen on the first time she said, you know, you got cancer. Okay, God, just help me take away this cancer. That would have been great, wouldn't it? It would have been great. But through this whole process, God has been working on Donna. He's been teaching her. And it's not an instantaneous thing sometimes, but we have to persist in our prayers. And we ourselves, we've been there. We've cried out to God until we couldn't cry anymore. We've reached the end of our rope, and it didn't seem like God even knew where we were at or what we were going through. And when we get there, we need to realize that we can bring all that pain and frustration to God. When you get to that place in your life, that point like David was, at the end of his rope, when you're at the end of the rope, that's when you really need to persist in prayer and tell God your frustrations, your angers, your deepest thoughts, and share that with him. You see, David could have given up. He could have said, well, forget this. I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And matter of fact, David had the chance. You read about David and Saul and the chase that was on. You'll see that Saul came into the cave that David was hiding in. And David was so close to him that he took his knife and he cut his garment to let the king know that I was close enough to kill you, but I didn't. You see, God told David not to kill him, and David was being obedient, even when he was at the end of his rope. David didn't give up. And we know this because we see him here in chapter 13 as he's pouring his heart out to God. We know David didn't give up. And I want to encourage you today, don't give up, even if he hasn't answered you, even if you feel like he's not listening to you, even if you feel like you've been abandoned. I want to encourage you today to go to God and open up and share with him exactly how you feel, just like David did in our scripture today. Continue to go to God in prayer. Can I tell you this morning, church, if we will persist in our prayer life, God will answer. He will. He will. Amen. You know, in the second section, let's take a look at that. We see that David is still struggling. The struggle is real. but right now, at least he has started climbing that mountain of faith that's before him. As we look into this, that he's no longer falling apart in the valley. In the second section of this, we see here, it says that he's no longer falling apart in the valley. Well, I want to tell you something too before I go any further, that the strain and the pain of the climb won't last forever. It won't last forever, people. It feels like it will. And we're hoping that when we reach that mountaintop, we're looking for a blessing, aren't we? When we get there, we're hoping that a blessing is there. But what we have to do is we have to persist, and we can't give up in the middle of it. And I just want to say to somebody that might be here today and you're in the middle of it, let me tell you, you have come too far to quit right now. You need to persist in God. Amen. Now's the time to start climbing that mountain of faith like David does. Psalms 13:3, David says in this second part, he says, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. We see now that he stopped asking how long and are we there yet? And now he's looking for understanding. You know, it's like David is saying to us, well, if I could just understand why I'm going through this, it would help me. Or if I just knew what was going on, well, then I would be okay. Or I always feel like I'm in the dark. Well, let me remind you, God's ways are not our ways, people. They're not our ways. And we have to use our faith in times like this. And when we use our faith, we use our scripture, right? We go back to God's word and we can look on scripture. It says, when we are weak, he is strong. Or maybe we need to take a look at the scripture. It says that he will never leave us or forsake us. You see, we have to start with that faith. And we need to start climbing the mountain like David did in the second verses there. The third section here is the mountaintop. David, we can basically see him in this scripture that he has reached the mountaintop of faith. And he says in verse 5, he says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. See, what David is saying is, God, I may not have all the answers, but I'm going to trust you anyways. Sometimes we face things we don't have any answers, let alone all of them. But we have to trust God anyways, just like David did. We have to think, you know, I know that you love me. And that knowledge is enough to put a song in my heart. And then we can almost imagine David's standing on that mountaintop and he's looking back and he sees all that he's come through and he sees the valley where he started out. He sees that mountain. And it's at times like this that David had to just look and say, God, I realize that you were there all the time. There's so many times that we have thought in my life as I've loved the Lord and served him, there's been times I've gone through situations and I've been just like this. I've thought, God, are you even there? Do you know me? Do you care about me? I've had these same conversations with God. And I tell you, time and time again, I've looked back and I've realized that Jesus was there the whole time. David is saying, he says, I will sing to the Lord for he has been good to me. In Psalms 13:6, Can I tell you, if we hang in there, if we persist, if we struggle with all of our might to climb this mountain of faith that's before us, and let me tell you, it's going to seem overwhelming at times. You're going to feel overwhelmed. But if we'll continue to cry out to God, even to the point to where we're giving him all of our frustration, all of our pain, and all of our anger, we will reach that mountaintop. Amen? We'll be able to reach that summit just like David. We'll be able to look back and we'll realize that, yes, God was with me. God really does love me. He knows my name, and he is there once again. Amen. But let me end with this. I know we've all been in that valley at one time or another, and we've questioned God, and we've asked, are we there yet? How much longer is this going to last? How long are you going to let this go on, God? Maybe you're here today, and you're at that point. Maybe you're saying, Pastor Jack, man, that is me today. I'm facing a battle like I've never faced before. I've been praying, and I don't feel like God hears my prayers. I feel like they bounce off the ceiling. I've heard so many people say that. I feel like God doesn't even know my name. Let me tell you, we've all been there. You're not alone. God is with you. We're with you. But you know, there's times that you just feel so alone, even though surrounded by people. Even though you know God's there, you still feel alone. And it's okay to tell him, God, I'm lonely. God, I need you. I remember one time I came to a struggle and a terrible time in my life. And I asked God, God, do you even know my name? And I'm going to tell you, I woke up in the middle of the night hearing my name being whispered. And I knew at that moment that that was God telling me, I know your name. I know your name. I know where you're going and what you're going through. And I'm going to take you through it and bring you to the end of this eventually. And people, let me tell you, if he'll do it for me, I'm just an old country boy from West Texas, little town you've probably never heard of, Borger, Texas. And God spoke to me. If he cares about, me, let me tell you, he loves you. He loves you. But just like David, he had to go through it. It took years. It didn't just happen. Just like Donna, she went through it. It didn't just happen. We can look at character after character in the Bible. Look at Joseph. God knew where he wanted him. How long did it take him to get him there? Well, first he had to get his brothers to beat him. He had to get them to sell him as a slave. He had to be accused of something he didn't do, thrown into prison, interpret some dreams, and be left there for years. And then finally they remembered him there. And then God got him to where he wanted him to be. You see, it's a process. It's about the journey. And sometimes we get on our journey and we're like, are we there yet? How much longer? Can I tell you, those are legitimate questions. They're legitimate questions. And thankfully, we serve a loving God that doesn't annoy us like I did my daughter. He doesn't just look at you and say, well, you're closer than you were. He looks at it and he says, you know what? Just hang on. I'm taking you there. I'm getting you there. I have a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, read that. He says, for I have a plan for you. I know the plans that I have for you. So he has a plan for your life this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today is an amazing day to do that. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? So today should be the day that you give your heart to Jesus Christ. He's here and he's willing to forgive you of all your sins. All you have to do is admit to him that you're a sinner and believe that he's the Savior of the world by giving his life as a ransom for our sins, and then begin to just confess your sins to him, and he'll forgive you of every single one of them. Can I tell you, there's not one sin that he can't forgive. He'll forgive you. His blood is that powerful. And so if you're here today and you say, Pastor Jack, I need Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, so that the next time I go through a tough time, the next time I'm facing those times when I'm wondering, is this ever going to end, that I have a loving Jesus to lean on and to get me through it. If that's you this morning, I want you to pray with us here in a minute. But then also in the prayer, I want to pray for those of you that are here today and you're saying, Pastor Jack, I'm struggling. Struggle is real and I can't get past it. I feel like I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. I want to pray with you today, and I want to encourage you to keep on. Keep pressing on. I never made it on a trip to my mom's house that I didn't continue going. I never got to my mom's house if I turn around and come back home. You never get there, do you? So you've come too far to quit. You've got to keep on. Keep moving forward. Keep asking the Lord for your help, and let him be that present help in times of trouble. Stand with me if you would, and let's pray. Dear Jesus, I love you this morning. And I ask, Lord, that if there's someone here that's asking you into their heart today, Lord, that you would just become the Savior of their soul. Lord, that you would let them know that you have heard their prayer and that you have forgiven them of their sins and their past, their shames, their past. God, you just wipe it away. And you can give them a new life today if they'll believe in you and confess that they need you as their Savior. God, I'm so thankful we don't have to beg you to give us salvation. We don't have to beg and plead and cry for you to forgive us of our sins. I'm thankful for that blood that's so powerful that it washes away all the sins of the world. Thankful, Lord, that you can apply it to our lives by all we have to do is ask you and believe, and it'll be done in the name of Jesus. Father, if there's someone here today that's asking you into their heart, I pray that you just speak into their mind and their heart today, right now, the love that you have for them. And Father, if there's someone here today and they're discouraged, they're going through a tough time, Father, I just pray that you would just begin to wrap your arms around them in this place and begin to love on them, begin to speak into their spirit today, God, the mighty word that only you can give, that it will pass. It will pass because I have a plan for your life. I know where I'm taking you. I'm not just taking you up any mountain and down into any valley, but these valleys and these mountains have purpose. And God, you're taking us through them to make us a better person, to make us stronger in our faith. God, that you're here to deliver us from those things that are after us. And God, I just ask that you would just minister today by the mighty power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would sweep over every person in this room right now, God, speaking into their life the very word that they need for their situation, for their encouragement that they need today. Father, don't let us give up. Don't let us turn back. Don't let us sit down. But God, give us the strength and the courage to move forward, to keep climbing this mountain of faith that's before us, God, so that we can stand on that mountaintop and be just like David. And we can sing because you have been so good to me. God, we love you today, and it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you today. We thank you so much for being here. If you are online, we're just so thankful that you're with us today. We pray that God's blessing you and your home just like he's blessing us here. And I just want you to know, we love you, and we're praying for you this week that God would just go before you, he'd go with you, he'd go after you, everywhere you go, that God would just be mighty in your life. That's our prayer for you today. God bless you, and have a great week.